Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Katzkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care podcast. This is our Tuesday flagship show. And as always, I'm super excited to be with you on Tuesday. And today, I just want to say before I introduce my guest, if you have not listened to the episode that dropped on April the 14th, that was Dr. Fadul, who was the head of Bespoke Concierge Medicine. You're definitely going to want to go back and listen to that one if you haven't already. But my guest today is Dr. Phyllis Nsee Kumi, and she calls herself Doc Kumi for short. She's actually part of that organization because she's the chief women's health officer. And we're going to be talking about the subject of women's health today, which I know is very interesting for so many of you in my audience based on the messages and the questions and the inquiries that I get from so many of you. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to having a great chat with you and hopefully providing lots of good value to our listeners.
Yeah. So like I said in my intro, we talked to Dr. Fadul about what he's built with Bespoke Concierge Medicine. And it's so great that I get to speak to you because you're part of that same organization, but that, you know, you've sort of carved out this niche in women's health. But let's talk for a minute first about the concept of concierge medicine, because that's what you do. And what is so different about that today versus going the traditional women's health route?
Concierge medicine gives us the opportunity to provide really personalized care. We like to consider it high touch. So you may see your traditional PCP using insurance, et cetera, and the panels are big and people are booked and you can be seen a few times a year. But with concierge medicine, we really have the opportunity to see patients more often and to really tailor the care not only to the clinical guidelines, but to an individual's needs. So while that is always the goal in medicine, I really feel after having practiced medicine in several different spaces that this type of practice gives me the opportunity to really dig in deep, get to know patients better, and make sure that we provide the unique things that they need in addition to making sure we meet all our clinical guidelines, get our screenings done, et cetera.
Totally. Yeah. So then when it comes to women's health, this is an area that really, I think, not only are increasingly more women interested in and following, but this is an area that for the most part in traditional medicine has gotten overlooked.
And sadly, I would say that in many ways that it has. While, you know, there are lots of initiatives around women's health, and I've spent a lot of my time in my career in women's health, there are still a lot of gaps. You know, a lot of the research that's been conducted on general health issues, primarily men are participating in the research studies. When we talk about how we describe common health conditions, the traditional presentations are those of men. And so it's kind of presented as women's health is different, but the truth is the overall picture hasn't been comprehensive enough. And being really attentive to that, being focused on women's health gives us a chance to kind of dig out those pieces and make sure that the women patients that we take care of also get the opportunity to get the best healthcare possible and to get answers to their really important questions and to feel that they are as equipped as possible to be the best they can each and every day in their, you know, in their families, in their jobs, in their communities.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. So I'm 57. I'm going to be 58 in just a few weeks. And so
happy birthday in advance. Your birthday might be right near mine. My birthday is coming up in a few weeks as well.
Yeah, it's in May. I'm a May baby. So
as am I. Very beginning.
So what I would really like to start with here are the fact that, you know, we get to a certain, as women, we get to a certain point in our lives, probably from 40 on, I would say. Sure. And, you know, there are obviously things that we're looking at very differently. One of the things that you said as soon as we got online that really struck me was this idea of menopause. I just think that's such a really, not just creative, but just a spot on way to say it. Because I can remember back when I turned 40, it's like, you know, obviously there are things that we're thinking about different. And now that I'll be 58 in just a few weeks, it's like, I know there are things I'm definitely thinking about differently. And so I'd love for you just to speak into that a little bit.
Sure. So as I kind of move forward in my career and in my own life ages, because we're saying that, you know, we're pretty close together in age.
Yeah.
I think that in many ways, menopause has been this black box.
Right.
And people don't talk about it and you don't know, right? And the way I've been describing it to folks is it's almost like, remember we had the talk? And maybe there's a class in school and maybe you talked to your mom and maybe you felt like you knew what was happening. But maybe you had no idea. And then like me, you ran to the library to like look it up. And so at the end of the day, there's this black box, right? But at the same time, people kind of feel like, oh, women of a certain age, you know, things don't work the same. And they feel like you should just suck it up and get over it. But honestly, if women spend 40% of their lives in menopause, right? So just as significant as earlier seasons in our lives, this is one that's really important as well. But as I've told you, we're primarily uninformed.
Yeah.
So for me, the idea that this is kind of it for you, good luck, we hope you figure it out, is like completely unacceptable.
Right.
And so this is the middle. This is a chance for us to pause, look around, get new information, reprioritize, not just in health, but in life. Many women who change the world have these amazing discoveries and awakenings in this season. So if this is a season where we give up and go home, like the whole world is missing out.
Yeah.
And so to me, pausing in the middle, reassessing where we are, figuring out we need to move forward and doing it really intentionally is important to me. And that's why I called it the middle pause. Because, you know, menopause is one day.
Very accurate, I think. And like spot on. Yeah, spot on with it. But I also want to hit on one other thing real quick. And that is what I really hear from a lot of women my age and maybe a little bit younger is this, that we're constantly straddling like several things at the same time. You know, we're used to being the go-to person to, you know, to help take care of a group of people, whether it's your family or whether it's people that you're committed to and you have responsibilities to or whatever. There's that too. In addition to this, needing to focus on this middle part of our life, right?
Right.
But there's also this need that it's not like these other responsibilities are going to go away. So I would just love to hear your thoughts on that too.
Sure. I mean, I think when I was a little bit younger, not so much younger, because again, we're fairly close together in age. Yeah. We kind of hear about the sandwich generation. And I was like, I don't really know what that means. But literally, I'm at that season where I look around, right? My friends and I are taking care of kids. And then, like you said, all these people are depending on us. So our jobs, we're the go-to person. Like we're senior enough in our careers that when anybody has a question, they're like, ooh, ask Allison, right? Like you've been doing it long enough, they come to you.
Right.
So it's great to have that expertise.
Right.
But somewhere in the background, your family's depending on you, your community organizations are depending on you, and then your parents are depending on you. So now everybody's depending on you, and maybe you feel like your body's going on strike. Like, how do you manage everybody when you can't quite keep up with what's happening with yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to get help, people are kind of dismissing you, right? So I think it becomes even more critical that we pay attention to these issues, because while we alone are enough and we're worth it and we deserve it, the truth is, as you've mentioned, everyone else is depending on us.
Exactly.
So us having our health understood and intact is critical.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. So let's start there then with what are some of the most common health questions or concerns that you see from your patients? And what do you think are, I don't really want to oversimplify it and say these are the main things you need to be concerned about, because I know for each person it's going to be a little bit different. But I'm sure in your practice, there's a recurring theme of things that you typically hear about. I mean, if you don't mind sharing.
No, I'd be happy to share. And you're correct. Every patient is different. And there's a broad number of symptom categories, let's say, that people are struggling with when they're our age. And I mean, the truth is that's because estrogen affects all of our body systems, even though we don't necessarily understand that before everything starts going on strike, right?
Right.
And so the truth is that you will definitely see varied symptoms. Things that I see really commonly, brain fog, like concentration issues, forgetting things. And people just think, oh, I'm just getting older. So they dismiss it. But that's a very commonly described symptom of perimenopause and menopause. So certainly the cognitive issues, fatigue, we see that a lot.
Yeah.
Surprising to many people, musculoskeletal things. Uh-huh. So their joint problems, frozen shoulder, we can see.
Yeah.
Certainly, we want to be more concerned about some long-term issues as well, but absolutely cognitive issues, skin issues, you know, there's so many things that happen and people think, oh, it must just be me. And one of the things I tell people is if anything feels a little bit off, you should check it out. Because at the end of the day,
pay attention to it, trust it, right?
Right. Yeah. Like you're an expert in living in that body. So if you wake up one day and something is not quite right, even if it's hard to explain, it's really worth having those conversations, because you never really know exactly what's happening, especially again, since unfortunately a lot of us aren't as aware as I would like us to be about what happens during the season.
Totally. Yeah. And I also feel like, you know, even though these things, these problems exist for people, is that there's always a workaround. Like in my view, and this is probably going to sound very, you know, simple and commonplace, but I'm just going to say it anyway.
In a lot of ways, I feel like my 50s have been infinitely better than my 40s because I've made different intentional decisions around how I'm choosing to take care of myself and prioritize myself.
I agree. And I think that's the beauty of the pause, yeah. Right? I promise you that didn't happen in a vacuum. You didn't just wake up one day and make that decision. Like, you had to stop and stand still long enough to say, hey, we need to do something a little differently. And in addition to that, I think I would say that as you're wrestling through these changes and how do you work around them and work through them, having a good relationship with a physician who can help you is really important.
Exactly.
You know, because 100%. Menopausal hormone therapy and things like that can actually help to address these symptoms. So it doesn't mean that you have these symptoms and now your whole life is good luck with that, work it out. There are things we can do to make it better. Oh, hot flashes. That's the other thing I forgot. Hot flashes, vasomotor symptoms, which can last more than a decade for some women.
Yeah.
And so again, really important to just be aware of where you are and get help so that you can be kind of more comfortable, well-treated, and kind of doing the other things you'd like to do.
Yeah. So I know, like I said, that you treat each patient individually. Everybody gets individual attention. But I'm wondering, with your vast, experience and your knowledge base, if you had like a framework, if you have like some pillars, if you have just some general recommendations that you can share with my audience, I'm sure that would be an amazing place to start.
Sure. And I feel like you read my notes. So the middle pause framework is actually a really intentional way of addressing menopausal symptoms, midlife health changes. And so what I've created is a framework that literally helps us lay out the concerns. So I've already kind of mentioned a couple of things to you, right? So brain fog, cognitive things, mood issues, fatigue, sleep problems are really prevalent.
Yeah.
Addressing, urinary problems. We hear people talking about kind of you laugh and you cough or you laugh and there's a dribble. Yeah. Like all of those different things. So basically I've divided it into 12 categories.
Okay.
And it's really intentional. So the patients that see me, we meet, we do an overview and they say, gosh, this is what's bugging me the most.
Yeah.
And we put those at the front of the list. So it obviously can be rearranged and tailored. But ultimately, we'll go through all these symptom groups.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond the symptoms, I think the thing that's really important to say is, while often we maybe treat to symptoms, there are long-term health issues that we also have to consider. And this is a critical time to be aware. So bone health and osteoporosis, heart disease, brain health, those are things we want to be on top of. And so even if you're saying to me, like, I feel fine, there's still a protocol of things that we would do to make sure we're maximizing your health,
like
in those categories.
Like checkpoints and just check in and to make sure.
On the roadmap, stop A, stop B, stop C. We rearrange them for what you need. Mm-hmm. But putting them in a structured order helps all of my patients know what to expect. Mm-hmm. It helps the doctors that are working with me know what checkpoints we don't want to miss. And it makes anybody who's a part of the process feel like there is a structure and there is a focus versus like, this person has these symptoms, we're just going to talk about that and then leave everything out.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of traditional frameworks or traditional care models, it's easy to say, okay, you need your vaccines, you need your mammograms and your screenings, and the rest of it is reactive to what you have most on your mind.
Yeah,
I should absolutely react to what you have on your mind. But this is a more proactive model that includes the things that concern you, but makes sure everything else important besides screenings, mammograms, vaccines, et cetera, is covered so that we're preparing proactively for your long-term health. If decisions we make in our 40s and 50s impact how healthy we can be in our 60s, 70s, and 80s, that means how available we can be for all those people we just said are concerned for us and need us is impacted by that. How involved we can be in our communities, how much time we have with our families, right? We want lifespan, but we want health span. We want to be as healthy as possible in those years. And so doing this proactively and giving what I like to call midlife women's anticipatory guidance, telling you what to expect in advance, helps you to be more prepared and ask good questions all along the way versus reacting to weird things that are happening and you're just hoping someone knows what it is and can help you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And then you want to make sure when patients like come to see you and you have a chance to talk about these things, that they don't leave, they leave and they feel like, at least all their questions have been addressed. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout,
or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is C-E-L-L-E-V-8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Correct. And when you leave, you'll know what questions you had today, but I'll give you information to think about what we're going to talk about the next time. That's also a part of this season. So again, it's just not, oh, today I'm feeling a little fuzzy, we'll talk about brain fog. Oh, today my shoulder's bothering me, we'll talk about joint pain. Like, we'll talk about those, but then you'll leave with a handout that says heart health. This is what to think about. These are the labs we need. We need heart health history from your family. We'll talk about that the next time.
Yeah.
So what I practice internal medicine, pediatrics, and public health. And in pediatrics, the concept is anticipatory guidance. If you bring in your four-month-old, we'll talk about that. And I'll give you the four-month-old handout. But what I started doing when I was in training is I'd also give you the six-month handout. Because what if your kid is super precocious and is doing what seemed to you to be weird things, right? Then you are stressed out. So if we always talk about today, but give you prep for the next visit or what to expect, you feel more comfortable and confident walking into the days ahead.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, as you and I were talking about before we started our recording, women's health is kind of a black box in this season, and no one tells you what to do at all. Like, I'm literally watching women crowdsourcing medication doses in Facebook groups.
Pretty much.
And so that's not how it should be, right? Like, our team of providers should know enough about what we're doing that the best source of information isn't going to feel like perfect strangers with varying education
or
expertise on the topic. So
I love what you said about being proactive and thinking ahead, because I think in today's world, we're so reactive about what's going on now. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be, if something comes up today, you absolutely need to be paying attention to that. But we don't do it at the expense of looking 3, 6 months, 3 years down the road. This is what we're going to be working toward, because my background is in health and fitness. And when I own my gyms, with my clients, it was always like, this is where we want to be in 6 months. This is where we want to be in a year. And therefore, we're going to be creating a plan that's going to get us there.
Right. Yeah. And I think I talked about being like proactivating. So being proactive, but activating, taking action. But like you said, you look forward to the goal and then you reverse engineer, right? You build the plan. So if in 12 months I want to be here, what does it take to get here?
Yeah.
If in 12 months my body will be doing this, or I should be talking about this, what do I need to be aware of and to be, be proactive and aware and maximize my health span?
Yeah. And that right there is very different from traditional medicine. You know, medical providers are trained to treat like what they see today. And so that's what I really appreciate as an educator and a practitioner myself, is what you're just saying about, we're going to look ahead and see what's going to be serving us down the road.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we work in a disease-based model, right? Yes. If it breaks, we'll fix it. But how to prevent it breaking down is a totally different story.
Exactly.
Now, when your car breaks down and you go to the mechanic, they are happy to help you, right? Just don't ever get an oil change. Always have your car on E. You know, they'll make big bucks because that's how it goes. But if you really do all the aggressive, intentional things, as well as addressing problems, you have the best opportunity for the best success.
Totally. So real quick, before we move on, could you just run down the list of you mentioned that your middle pause framework or the after 40 glow up framework had the 12 categories. And you mentioned three, but could you just run down those 12 for my audience?
Let's start at the top. So we in general just talk about hormone health.
Yeah.
So, fluctuating estrogen levels, et cetera. So we start with hormone health. Then we'll go on to talk about vasomotor health. So we'll talk about hot flashes and those changes that go with that. Mm-hmm. We then go on and talk about brain fog, talk about brain health, right. So brain fog concentration, et cetera. We'll talk about mood changes. So mental health is a different category than that.
Yeah.
We talk about gut health. That's one of our categories. We talk about bone health and musculoskeletal. So we talk about osteoporosis, the joint point, you know, and you know very well about those. We will then also talk about GU and sexual health, the incontinence, any, you know, painful intercourse, vaginal changes, all the things that happen when you don't have enough estrogen. I believe that puts us up to 8.
Yep.
And then we've also got, let's see, we did gut health. I'm thinking about all the tests that we have. That was 8.
Yeah.
And so then we also go on ahead and talk about, sleep. That's right. So we've
sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huge, huge problem. Right. So we'll talk about sleep problems that are related to hot flash, et cetera, but there are other sleep issues. We talk about sleep apnea, et cetera, in that category. Mental health. We talk about heart health.
Yep.
So protecting your heart for the long run. Metabolic and weight related issues. Metabolic health. Mm-hmm. You know, that's huge. The urinary and sexual health, breast health, bone and joints, gut health, and can I forget it? Skin, hair, and nails, because a lot of people overlook that one.
Yeah, love that.
And so for sure, making sure to kind of address all the key, the biggest categories where things are changing.
Yeah.
And again, getting ahead of them. So if skin, hair, and nails are great for you, then that won't necessarily be the first thing we would talk about when you come to see me, but we would make sure that we address it so that as changes come down the line, you know what's happening.
Yeah, what I love about this is that there's just by you know, looking at those 12 categories, you're really encompassing like the whole picture. You're not just focusing on, you know, the one or two things that you talk about when you go see your OB or your primary care physician or whatever. It's like you're really covering the whole gamut.
And the goal is to be comprehensive because honestly, as I've learned more and spoken to more people, like honestly, unacceptable is the only word I can come up with for the current state of affairs.
Yeah.
It is not okay.
Yeah.
And you and I both know if these certain concerns were addressing men, we would not be having this conversation because it would be solved quick, fast, and in a hurry, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that really struck me was that there was a little of this willy-nilly, I'm not sure what's happening. The number of women who have menopausal symptoms, people are speaking to 5 to 7 different physicians or healthcare providers before they get answers. They are getting gaslit and dismissed everywhere we go. And so I really felt that an intentional structure that told you, this is what we're talking about. This is what to expect. If you go in to talk and you can't get answers, like go somewhere else if you can't get what you need. But if there's not a structure and everything is so kind of amorphous or squishy, it's easy to go in and have them tell them, no, that's not really it. And then you go home like, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm losing my mind and this isn't really going wrong. So I felt like creating an intentional structure really gives all of us, like it empowers us to know what we're asking about and be okay saying, I have a concern in this category. I need some help.
Yeah.
Because I know, like I myself, I secret shoppered with a number of these different programs. Like I was looking for help. I went to several doctors. I'm a doctor. I went to more than half a dozen doctors, couldn't get straight answers, went to online virtual practices, trying to get somebody who would tell me something. And so, having had that fairly distressing experience, I can't imagine what it's like for someone who doesn't have medical training to be knocking on doors and be getting turned away.
Yeah.
And so that was really why, you know, I created that because it happens a lot. And this, like I run webinars and I hear women telling me, my doctor said this. That's just how it is. Or, you're that age now. And I was like, absolutely not. Like the game is not over. We're just beginning. That's why we pause in the 100%. Middle and retool.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you offer in closing as just some little easy tips, pieces of advice? What could you offer for people listening that might either encourage them to reach out to you or to at least say, you know what, I'm not getting the support that I need, like maybe point them in the direction of some resources? I mean, what do you say?
Sure. So this is a tough season and it's definitely been a black box for too long, as we've said.
Yeah.
I think there are a number of great resources out there. You'll find some resources on the Bespoke Concierge MD website or on my .kumi.com website. But as far as practical tips about what to do, I would say look for a healthcare provider that listens. Look for somebody that's knowledgeable about midlife women's health. And I think the thing to do, especially as the conversations about menopausal hormone therapy are on the table all around, is to ask someone, what's your approach to midlife women's health? What's your approach to menopausal hormone therapy? If someone says, I don't do that, you know, or I'm not really comfortable, or, you should see another doctor, you decide whether or not they stay on your team, but they definitely shouldn't be the person directing your team, right? You need someone who's comfortable talking about this and treating it. And so many women are coming to me and saying, I talked to my doctor, they're all about it. And then they tell me, and this is the plan. I'm like, well, did they draw any labs? What's their plan for monitoring? How are you going to handle your symptoms? And they're like, oh, I don't really know. So you need someone who can articulate to you their approach and how they're going to take care of you. So you get to vet your doctors.
Totally.
You get to vet the people taking care of you and not just settle for anyone passing by. Yeah. So absolutely knowing what to expect from your doctor. And then I would say the next thing is be educating yourself about the changes to that we're all experiencing.
Agreed. 100%.
And go in with specific questions. Mm-hmm. And if, and I think the number one thing I would say is like, just track where you are. So this whole idea of a roadmap, we identify where we are, we chart the course, and we keep checking in. So as a patient at the beginning, identify where you are. If it's about sleep, you know, I'm having problems falling asleep, or I fall asleep and I wake up. Yeah. And it happens how many days a week? And how many hours do you sleep? Like being able to walk in and tell someone the details of where you are mm-hmm. better equips them to help you move to a different place. Mm-hmm. So again, understanding that none of us is well-trained in this field, right? The doctors are learning, the patients are learning. People walk in and are like, I'm just really tired and I can't sleep. How I address that, what tests I order for you, what treatments or strategies I give you depend on the details.
Right.
So really being able to chart and map helps. And so that's one of the types of tools that, you know, I'll have on my website. Bespoke has them as well. Pick a category. You're concerned about sleep. You're concerned about bladder symptoms, whatever you're concerned about, mapping where you are now, how long it's been going on, et cetera, really helps us have a good starting point.
Yeah.
And being honest, right? Some of these things are just not comfortable to talk about. And I mean, for example, you know, someone spoke on one of my recent webinars about having some bladder and sexual concerns, et cetera. And the data clearly shows that maybe 80%+ of women in this season struggle with those issues. More than half of them say their doctor never talked to them about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you gotta be the courageous one and bring up the, like the itchy subjects, and then you're like, oh, I'm feeling embarrassed. So, I mean, we doctors have to do better and ask, but as a patient, you really have to also hold our feet to the fire.
Yeah.
If you bring up something that's uncomfortable to you and I'm uncomfortable too, then you have to decide, can we work together on it? Or you have to find somebody who's comfortable, right? How am I going to ever help you get to where you're going if I can't even talk to you about it?
Yeah. And you have to be your own advocate. You know, you have to, so you have to just trust yourself that you can be your own advocate, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And that's why I said, no matter what's happening with you, and no matter how much of a medical expert I am, I'm not an expert about living in your skin.
Yeah, exactly.
That body is yours and you're always the expert on that. And so feeling confident enough to know that even if you're talking to somebody with 1,100 letters after their name, they've not been living in your skin, they've not been in your body, and they don't experience the challenges that you experience. So if something's different, it's worth saying, I have a question.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that I would add as we're wrapping up is that so often in this stage, because of all of these hormonal shifts, changes in mood, sleep doesn't help mood, all these things are going wrong. Don't be dismissed as being depressed.
Yeah.
If that's not the case, because the data clearly shows.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you are depressed, if you are anxious, and anxiety is huge in midlife because of the hormone shifts, many women who need hormonal replacement therapy are given antidepressants instead. So if you think that lots of things are going on and anxiety is one of them, but a hormone replacement therapy would actually help you, menopausal hormone therapy would help your bones, your heart, your everything, and it would help your mood, going in and just accepting being dismissed as being depressed means you're not optimizing your own health. So again, I say, be open, educate yourself, but don't leave without getting what you need. And I think that's what I see that breaks my heart. It's unacceptable that we don't know what to expect. Yeah. It's unacceptable that not more doctors know what we need. But it's very sad that so much of us leave without what we need or leave with something that's really substandard because that's all we can get. We deserve better, each and every one of us.
Understand that there's really no such thing as a bad question. You know, that's the teaching.
Absolutely.
I always tell my college students, there's never a bad question. If you're not sure, ask.
Ask. Right. And if you ask and you can't get a straight answer, ask again. And if you can't get a straight answer, ask someone else. Like, don't leave until you get what you came for. Advocate for yourself. You're worth it. The people that love you are worth it, and you deserve the best that there is to be had.
Totally, 100%. How can people connect with you and learn more about your practice and reach out to you if they like?
So you can find me online at bespokeconciergemd.com. We're based in Scottsdale, Arizona, so you can find me online there. You can also find me at documi.com. Mm-hmm. And so you'll find our resources there, some sample worksheets that'll help you organize your thoughts when you go to your doctor visits. We've got some things that will help any patient, whether you come to our practice or not, be more prepared to have those really important conversations that you and I were discussing today.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for the work that you do and for sharing your knowledge and your expertise. It's like, I really appreciate everything that you're doing to advance women's health. So big props to you.
Well, thank you so much. And I really appreciate your time and the chance to have such an important conversation. Because like I said, I was appalled to reach this season of life and see such a big black hole and so many of us suffering needlessly, but I really want to be a part of the solution. And so together you and I are having one conversation that I hope will help many women look forward to changes in their lives.
Absolutely. 100%. So folks out there listening, there's a lot of really good stuff in this episode. So if you're really feeling conflicted, if you're feeling like maybe you haven't had your questions answered, and what we talked about today got you thinking again and got you thinking that maybe you should reach out to Dr. Kumi here for some answers, please feel free to do that. You will find all of her links in the show notes. That way, hopefully, you can connect and learn a little bit more about the practice of concierge medicine. I know when we interviewed Dr. Fadul, we had a lot of people comment and say, this is great. I really wish this was available where I am. So please feel free to reach out if something that we talked about today struck a chord with you and you would like to learn more. And on that note, like I always say, if there's somebody that in your world that you think needs to hear this conversation, then I would encourage you to copy the link to this episode. We're on every major platform out there. I don't know what you're listening to me on right now, but copy the link to this episode and send it to them as a free gift from me, or you can connect with me on my site at www.theallisonk.com. I spell my name with one L, so it's A-L-I-S-O-N, theallisonk.com, and connect with me, and we'll be happy to make sure that it gets to where you want it to go if you will just write to us and tell us that. Thank you for always supporting us, for following us, for subscribing, for downloading, and telling all your friends about us. We're super grateful for each and every one of you. And that's what I got for you folks this week on the podcast. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.